Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode is brought to you by Unity, the free personal media server. Unity makes it easy to access and stream all the files and media stored on your computers from your mobile devices. To download Unity for free, visit getunity.com/AAA. That's getunity.com/AAA. Welcome to All About Android, episode 259, recorded on March 29, 2016, your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Ron Richards.
I'm Lauren Miles.
And Jason has forsaken us.
He has.
It's just you and I, but luckily enough, we called in a favor from
a
friend.
Yes, we did.
The lovely Mr. Josh Vergara. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
The Android Authority, you're back. Joining us in studio.
In the flesh again, because that's the only way I'm going to do this, is I'll always come up here.
I'm really impressed by the dedication that we call Josh and he comes in the studio. That's
well,
nice.
I have a little bit of help over there.
I've been pummeling him with food for the last couple days.
Yes. I'm running on Loco Moco right now, so if you guys don't know what that is, go get some.
You're teeing up so many jokes and I can't make them. This is what happens when Jason's not here. All right, so thank you, Josh. It's great to have you back on the show. So this week we're going to be discussing Google Fiber Phone, the LG G5, and Mid Omos have got Flo pretty excited.
Yeah!
Is that the way it's pronounced, by the way?
How's it pronounced?
Mid-Omo!
Mid-Omo. We're going to find out more. But in the meantime, you're watching All About Android, starting now with the news.
Jason may be on vacation, but don't worry. Ron's totally got this. Stay tuned for Android News.
I never thought the news guy would get sarcastic.
Feeling very sarcastic over here today.
All right, there you go. Okay, so if you are a developer and you wanted to go to Google I.O. and you didn't win the lottery and weren't able to buy a ticket, there's still a chance. Google announced their Android Experiments I.O. challenge. And if you are a developer and you submit an Android experiment, you could win a free ticket to Google I.O. They've suggested a couple of ways to win, a couple of suggestions for your experiment. They're looking for creative uses of Android's new or distinctive features, projects that explore how we interact with our devices in small and big ways, unique visual aesthetics, open source projects that inspire other developers, or just surprise them. They want to see the amazing things you're cooking up. So if you're if you think you qualify, you can go to androidexperiments.com/challenge. And what do we think of this? Do you think this is like good developer outreach?
I saw some of the Android experiments actually in Barcelona in the Android Garden at MWC, and they were pretty neat.
Yeah. What did you see? What are a couple of
the ones? One that I saw was like they had the it took a picture of you, and then it was an automated pen, and it would just like draw out your portrait.
Oh, interesting.
Like based off the picture.
Based off of the picture.
So it takes a picture of you.
And then it draws your portrait with a pen.
So it's like an automated caricature.
What draws you with the pen?
Some robot.
Okay. That's cool.
And then there's another one that like you just dance in front of it and does like a warp.
Yeah.
I think I saw that one. Yeah.
Well, these are neat because it's like kind of like unfettered creativity. It's like, okay, we've got this platform. What can we do with it? As opposed to I'm trying to make an app that lets you copy files to the cloud.
Nobody needs more of those. Right.
Will the experiment be on the floor at I.O. though? Will you be able to showcase what it is I got you that ticket?
Oh, that's interesting. That's a good question. I hope so.
Considering how large Mountain View is and how Google owns like most of it, probably.
That's true. I.O. this year is.
So Google I.O. is at the Shoreline Amphitheater. It's not just taking over Mountain View.
I'm imagining like all of Mountain View is just going to be covered in all the Google primary colors. It's just
going
to be like.
I can't wait. Are you going? I will be there, yes. Yeah. I can't wait for I.O. I think it's going to be awesome. Especially since it's an HQ now. Yeah. Well, HQ is what I'm saying. And I'm imagining everyone who's attending is going to have to be on a bike of some sort.
Right.
That's why Josh is excited, because he wants to ride around the little cruiser. And just be like, ring, ring.
just right off the campus. Do you want to run after me?
So I'm assuming you're getting press access?
Yes.
So what if Google says, okay, we've got you press access, but the only way you can get around Mountain View is if you and these five other members of the press ride those six-person bicycles, and thank you, Brian, for going exactly where I was going. And you've got to have to ride one of those everywhere for 4 days straight.
I will only ride one of those if it's like one of those beer ones that were at South by Southwest.
Oh, yeah, I saw those. Those are
I'll
dangerous.
Do that one. Those are awesome. Yeah. No, yeah. But you know what? I have to say, if Flo and I were talking about this earlier,
we
should be able to get around Google I.O. via driverless cars.
I know. It's like all the nice Lexuses. They pull up and they're like, get in. It's
with
leather.
With the perpetual spinning thing on the top. Yeah. That would be amazing, I think. But I'm really looking forward to it because it's always been in Moscone West.
Right. Moscone West.
Yeah. And I don't know, just the fact that they're allowing so many people to come. I mean, we're bringing three people this year.
Yeah.
It's usually just me.
So did I pick the wrong year to not even bother to apply as a member of the press? Because I don't want to go to Mountain View.
I mean, like, you're like right here, though. It's so much easier for you to go.
Right here. It's so much easier for you to go when you live in San Francisco without a car. Wow. I've got to take the train.
You have a train to take.
That's true.
I could just stay in Mountain View for 2 days in a hotel.
Yeah, scenic Mountain View. It's going to be great. Well, anyway, so if you're a developer and you want to go to scenic Mountain View, listen, they have got a Costco that is like you wouldn't believe.
They do. It has an outdoor seating area.
It's great, so you can eat that $1.50 hot dog.
Yes. There's like a kind of good Mexican spot nearby. Yeah, totally.
There's nothing good about it. But anyway, so go to, what was it? It was androidexperiments.com/challenge and find out more details about that. You can go hang out at Google I.O. with Josh and Flo.
Mm-hmm. So. Speaking of challenges, SoundCloud is trying to challenge the rest of the streaming music biz. Today, SoundCloud announced SoundCloud Go, which is its new streaming music service. Now, you might be wondering, what took you so long, SoundCloud? I actually can't answer that question for you. But I will say that SoundCloud Go has got a little bit of work cut out for it. Because unlike Tidal and Spotify, SoundCloud actually doesn't have the same amount of music that the other guys do. Right. It said they had like 125 million songs in the library, but 110 million of those songs are from free, like from users that have uploaded them themselves.
Right. User generated.
Yeah. And only 15 million songs are actually from the three music labels that they have relationships with. So.
Wasn't SoundCloud like on death's door like a month ago?
It was. And then they ended up making peace with the record labels and they got like a little bit
of
their mojo back.
Is this part of it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's $9.99 a month, which is about as much as a Spotify. And you can do a 30-day free trial.
I don't know about that $9.99, honestly.
Think about for SoundCloud versus like, I mean, because I use SoundCloud for DJ mixes and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But is $10 worth it? For that.
Took me that
no, I'm sorry. I gave Flo side eye because she said she uses SoundCloud for DJ mixes, and now I'm realizing you download to listen to DJ mixes.
Yeah, not to
like
not
you're
to
not uploading. There's not DJ Flo out there in the world that I didn't know about. I didn't realize that you had a nightlife alter ego.
What's better, DJ Flo or DJ Ion? What would be better?
Actually, I had a DJ name. It was Flo Glow. I was Flo trying to glow. Like glow sticks. It was dumb. It was high school. Oh, I didn't know
it was
anybody.
The 90s.
It was not the 90s. But
oh, that's even worse.
It was the early aughts.
okay, so premium access, that would mean no ads. But if all you're listening to is indie and DJ and
not necessarily.
Mashups,
so Kanye, he actually ended up putting a special mix on SoundCloud this weekend that is like not available on Tidal. So they're trying to get some of the artists to put special songs on SoundCloud to sort of incentivize people to want to go to SoundCloud.
I guess.
Yeah. But I don't know.
This is tough because SoundCloud, it's like a part of me loves SoundCloud because of the democratization of the platform.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But every time I find myself using it, I get incredibly frustrated and walk away. Like I just feel like design wise and UI and all that sort of stuff. Like I just it annoys me.
You want to speak design wise?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was doing a little bit of poking today in the app.
Yeah.
And I went to go sign up for the subscription service, my free trial. And it asked me for like my credit card information, and I was sort of taken aback. I'm like, okay, you didn't ask me for my Google Play Store credentials because that's what I'm used to doing. I asked my Macworld coworker to download the app and tell me what it does, and for her, it asks for Apple ID.
Interesting.
And that kind of bums me out because I feel like this might be an iOS port. They did the work for iOS and then just ported it.
Yeah.
Bleak just said one nice thing
because
in the RSC.
Because of podcasts?
Podcasts. There's a huge podcast network on
I actually didn't know that. Yeah. Oh, yes, I did. What am I talking about? We have our PC World podcast on SoundCloud.
Yeah, Android 30 podcast.
And Macworld, too. Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they're able to make this a service that people sign up for and pay for and can survive. But it's funny that because it just thought of me. I saw this article before we came into the show related to this in terms of music streaming. Did you see the details of Spotify's thing?
No, what happened?
So as we know, music is one of the most challenging aspects of the internet and all that crazy stuff. And so here we're seeing SoundCloud almost died. Now they're back with the service, whatnot. So today, Spotify announced that, and Brian, I put the link in the doc. Spotify raised $1 billion in convertible debt. From a couple organizations, TPG, Dragoneer, and clients at Goldman Sachs. But listen to the terms of this, okay? So they say, Spotify says, the financing gives us strategic resources to further strengthen our leadership position, okay? TPG and Dragoneer, the people who gave the money, get to convert the debt to equity at a 20% discount of whatever share price Spotify sends for an eventual IPO. So if Spotify goes public, these guys who loaned them $1 billion get to convert the debt into shares at a 20% discount. If it doesn't IPO within the next year, meaning that now they need to IPO within a year, that discount goes up 2.5% every extra 6 months.
Whoa.
Right?
They just make a deal with the devil.
Spotify also has to pay a 5% annual interest on the debt. So do the math on 5% annual interest on $1 billion and 1% more every 6 months up to a total of 10%. And finally, TPG and Dragoneer can sell their shares just 90 days after the IPO before the 180-day lockup period ends for Spotify's employees and other investors. So basically, this screws Spotify. It screws the employees. It screws the investors.
Wow.
Right? Assuming that, you know, if they don't IPO within the next year, which is always a risk. This is like, if you watch Shark Tank, this is like a Shark Tank deal.
Yeah.
This is like,
yeah.
So, you know, who knows what Spotify's thinking, why they're confident that they can get away with that. You know, like these are the challenges that these music platforms have to deal with. And so I kind of worry for SoundCloud.
It's interesting you bring that up because when I was researching to write like just the news post, I had come across a bunch of articles that were just talking about how streaming music services are not profitable. And we're talking about Tidal as well, Jay-Z and Beyonce, like they are not making money off of that. I don't know if Apple Music, I don't think.
Wait, are you on Tidal?
I'm not on Tidal, okay. But I have friends on Tidal.
I was going to say, I literally know no one who uses Tidal.
Yeah, no.
I know one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know one person too. And
is it the same person?
No.
You never know.
But yeah, I'm not on it either. I just can't see the appeal of it when the libraries of everything else is just as good.
Well, yeah, and that's the challenge. Is that so, like, RDO died, right? SoundCloud almost died. Now it's doing this. Spotify's got to deal with the devil. And, you know, Tidal's doing what they can. But like I'm happy on Google Play Music. Like I know a lot of people are very loyal to Spotify or whatnot, but I don't see any reason to move off of Google Play Music.
For me, Spotify is the collaboration with my friends and like and that whole social.
I don't like being social on
my
music app. Yeah. I just listen to music. Yeah.
Jeez, alrighty.
It just kills me at how we blew like just they just blew music. Like from
Napster,
onward, they blew it.
It's true.
They just absolutely blew it. So.
But regardless, I like SoundCloud. I got to be honest, if it were a little bit less, I probably would subscribe because I want to support.
If it was $7.99, would you do it?
Maybe, because that's how much I pay for like Hulu or whatever. And it would just add to my, you know,
so the three extra dollars is more than you're willing to swallow to support
not
a service
enough.
You like.
I don't know yet. So I don't know. Look, I'm gonna use my 30 days. I kind of want to write a review because I have been a SoundCloud user for years. Like I said, I use it to check out mixes for my favorite music blogs. They put like playlists and stuff up, and it's another way for me to find new music. / procrastinate at work. Just kidding.
As long as Bandcamp survives all this, I'll be okay.
You know what? I kind of agree with that. Yeah,
I love Bandcamp. It's great.
I forgot about Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And they've got a good app. I did that in the arena a couple.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I was here.
So, all right. Poor music. All right. Our last news story, and this might be interesting to some folks. I don't know. Google recently announced Fiber Phone, which is a Google Voice-like home phone service for homes and users. The announcements specified that for $10 a month, you get unlimited local and nationwide calling and the same affordable rates as Google Voice for international calls. You can keep your old phone number or pick a new one. You can use call waiting, caller ID, and 911 services just as easily as you could before. And Fiberphone can also make it easier to access your voicemail. The service will transcribe your voice messages for you and then send them as a text or an email. And if you are interested in this, there's a form that you can fill out and tell Google that you're interested in the service, and they'll let you know when it comes to your area. Similar to Google Fiber, they're now adding voice.
I love this.
Do you? Would you sign up for it? Did you fill out the interest form?
No, I haven't had time to do that today, but I probably will. I'm totally interested in it because I love Google Voice when I go overseas. That's how I can talk to people at home, and I can text. Well, that's how I text people.
Yeah, but
people
this is
home.
A landline. Basically, right?
Well, this
right.
is basically, yeah, it's a landline.
Yeah,
but
so
it's powered.
If you like Google Voice already, right. you have Google Voice. Why right. make a landline out of it when you're using it abroad anyway? You know, an extra $10 when you could just use your Google Voice on your cell phone already.
You're right. I could spend that $10 on SoundCloud.
Yeah,
there you go. You gotta budget your money a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, I know. You're right. I gotta just stop throwing money out.
That's a really good point, though, because this is straight up landline service mm-hmm. that's powered by Google Fiber.
Yeah, and it's not even going to be available in a lot of places to begin with.
Right, but so now. Are this always goes back to are we not the audience for it? Is the like so you think about Comcast and Time Warner,
right?
Mm-hmm. And all those evil cable companies that make you pay these bundles to get cable TV and voice, you know, and stuff like that. This is just another.
Yeah, I can't believe that still happens.
Right? No, it does. It does. Yeah. Yeah. So is this just Google not so much trying to convert people like us, but trying to convert. You know, but whomever in
$10 a month, the value add is still really odd because if you take away the landline from that bundle, it raises the cost of the entire bundle
right.
in a weird way.
But not with Google. It's only $10 with Google. So
well, yeah, but you still have to pay for the other stuff.
Well, I'm thinking about my parents. I got them to ditch cable and they just got a Fire Stick and that's literally all they watch TV off of.
Fair.
Really?
And so they actually unplugged the home phone because it comes with their DSL and they unplugged it because they kept getting spam calls. Yeah. They still use a VoIP phone to call Romania. So I could see that getting them on this $10 a month, they can call Romania all they want, no problem.
See, what's interesting is that I would prefer, I don't have a landline, mm-hmm. but I would love one. There's nothing
I agree.
Better.
I miss landlines.
There's nothing better than a clear phone signal and being able to create, you know, be on the phone and it's just annoying, you know, but I don't have one. Because whatever, I have my cell phone and all
I'm clearly showing my youth in this show today.
Oh yeah,
I really don't want a landline.
In high school, it was a big thing if you had your own landline. It meant you got really good grades.
Now that said, my parents pulled the plug on the landline in the house I grew up in, and I stupidly didn't think when they did it to port the number. And I just let the number go. So this phone number that we had for 30 years now, I rue the day. So if you're getting rid of your landline. Keep your number. That's the lesson.
You could
here.
Do that with Fiber phone.
You could. You could transfer it to Fiber. Yeah.
I
want to
know if they have special phones that come with it.
Special Google phones?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Like a lip phone or something. I don't know. I think it's like a red lip phone, like the one they had on Full House or whatever. Something
I was just
ridiculous.
Thinking a phone with the Google colors like the bike.
Or just like a generic cordless phone with Google on the bottom. Yeah.
that's actually a good idea. All right, so we got an email, Flo.
We've got an email. I wish I could do the whole Strong Bad email thing, but Strong Bad, who does that? Anyway, we got an email from Wes from New York. Obviously, you guys use lots of different devices throughout the year, and you also are constantly running and testing new apps. I'm curious how important synchronization is to you when looking at and choosing apps to use. For me, this is an essential feature for any app. I personally regularly use 2 phones, 2 tablets, and my wife has a phone and a tablet that need to be synced at times also. I'm curious if you feel this is a growing need in the community as more and more of us buy more and more devices. Keep up the great work. I've been a faithful listener since I bought my first device in 2011, a Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1. P.S. I'm with Flo. Go Samsung.
President of the Samsung fan club? What do you say?
Clearly.
clearly. I say, yes, synchronization is a huge thing for me. I mean, for instance, there's a health app that I use. I use it because it syncs across devices. And so when I'm reviewing devices, I have all my information for me there, no problem, even if, you know.
So is this syncing of data or single sign-in?
Syncing of data. With a single sign-in.
Okay, but aren't they kind of two different things in a way? Like, you're not actually syncing data from one phone to the other.
It's syncing in the cloud. I always look for apps that, like, sync in... Look, I'm all up in the cloud, all right? I'm always looking for apps that go into the cloud so that I can just
seamlessly... Where the line is drawn.
It's interesting, because the term synced, I mean, because, you know... Yes, you log in, you know, I can log in and then I can access my email or files, whatever, from any device. It's just funny because I was thinking about how I use it, and actually on my Nexus 9, I turn synchronization off. And I don't want, I don't want stuff coming down at me on that device because it's mainly a media device. I'm mainly using it to watch TV and things like that. So, yes, I have that login, but, like, I actually don't, I didn't install Dropbox. I'm kind of wall-guarding it, you know? But that's a very good question. Like, I wonder if the state of the device, if he's talking about having the state of the device be the same at the same time.
Because that would be where I draw the line. I love having a single sign-in for all of my applications, which is why I actually don't really use Gmail anymore. I use an email app because it has a single sign-on that already has all my accounts set up.
Right.
So that I don't have to sign into five different Gmail accounts just to get my emails.
Right.
Whereas I use Mighty Text so that when I'm downstairs with my tablet, I can just use it to text people back instead of, like, being near my phone.
I do that with Pushbullet. I mean, I've moved 75% of my texting to my desktop with Pushbullet, thankfully.
Yeah.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Desktop's a mess.
It's just sometimes I like to have the bigger device in hand, and so I want it to do everything the smaller device does, mostly. Right. But not every app is on, you know. Yeah. Just the important stuff.
I also have sync off of my phone, too, because I think it's a battery drain.
It totally is.
And also it's
a data drain.
So, but you keep them as best as you can. You keep them synced as best as you can. And so, anyway, thanks for the email. That was awesome, Wes.
Multi-device life is hard.
I will forgive the Samsung fan club.
Right. Of which I am not the president of. Thank you very much.
All right. So before we move on, we want to thank our sponsor. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Unity. Unity is a free app that unifies your media and lets you seamlessly stream and access all of your videos, photos, music, and documents stored across all your computers and mobile devices. All your files are kept secure and private on your own devices. No clouds or middlemen involved. Setup is quick and easy, too, with no network configuration or ongoing management of any kind. And Unity works cross-platform. It's currently available on Android, iOS, Windows, and Mac. And here's a few of the awesome things you can do with Unity. You can stream your video and music collections on demand. You can even access iTunes Music on your Android device. You can access all of the photos on all of your computers, including Lightroom catalogs and Apple photo libraries. You can post photos stored on your computer directly to Instagram. Access documents across multiple computers on the go. Unify all of your content across your computers into one organized menu in the Unity app. You can search all content across all your computers at once. You can download any of your media to your mobile devices for unlimited offline access. You can keep large files off your phone, but still have access to them, and it's free. So I played with this earlier, and this is the real deal, folks. This is a very cool app. As somebody who's got a ton of media on my computer, I've got video, photos, I got tons of documents and all this sort of stuff, and previously it was all spread out with Dropbox and Google Drive and all this sort of stuff. Being able to access the data on my computer through my other devices when I'm on the road is so important, and Unity does it seamlessly. It's amazing. I was really, really impressed by this product. So if you want to connect your devices with Unity, just install Unity on your computers, then download the Unity mobile app. You can visit getunity.com/AAA to download Unity for free and get unlimited access to all your stuff on the go. That's getunity, YOUNITY.com/AAA. And we thank Unity for their support. And seriously, check it out. Very cool app.
Talk about synchronization.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's move on to hardware. All right, Flo, what do you got? What do you got for us?
LG's been making a huge commotion over its UX 5.0, which actually Josh is holding in his hand right now.
So for those who don't know, what is UX 5.0? Because I thought Josh was holding a phone in his hand.
Sorry. Josh is holding the UX 5.0 is the interface on the LG G5, which I should have said. There's been a little bit of commotion over it. LG's really trying to push it into marketing, and so they've announced the new features that are coming with UX 5.0. I've actually used a couple of these features on the pre-production version of the G5, which is what Josh has in his hand as well.
We have to make that clear.
Some of those features.
Wait, so now this is the phone that last week that I pulled the battery out, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. All right, so it just keeps getting better and better, apparently.
So, couple of new features on it is there's a bunch of new camera features which actually come with this pre-production unit that we have, like the ability to fake a, you know, film effect or whatever. And the best news of it all, though, is that the app drawer is coming back in the final version of the LG G5.
And you can see that's not here, obviously.
It's not here.
Wait,
yes,
I'm sorry.
Right
did
now?
You say the app drawer?
The app drawer.
The
yes.
app drawer?
Yes.
All right. So the app drawer, the much debated and much maligned, loved, or hated Aptera will be returning.
So what you, Josh, can you go back to that screen, please?
Yes, absolutely.
So what you see right here.
Absolutely.
So what you see right here is two options to choose. Josh, what are you doing?
It's all right, he's a guest. He's not used to it.
I'm going.
You're supposed to be my Vanna White today. So what you see right here are two options for a home, an easy home. There's going to be a third option that lets you choose
home
screen.
So there's home.
Easy home.
An easy home.
Yes.
What will the third one be called? And what's the difference between home? So home provides basic layout and settings for apps and widgets.
With no app drawer.
Easy Home provides an easier interface for beginners with a simpler layout and larger font size.
Yes.
Wait a minute. So are they basically saying that anyone who prefers the Aptera is not so smart? That's what it sounds like.
I mean, if you look before at Easy they were Home, saying right it there, caused cognitive overload to have an app drawer. So that's why they took it away. But
so
then...
But you were pro Aptera.
Always.
So you were... So according to that copy...
I
that's
am
really
a
written
simpleton.
In a biased way there, because it provides an easier interface for beginners with a simpler layout and larger font size. That sounds like they're making a phone for my mother.
Yeah.
And that's the version you would choose, Easy Home.
No, I mean, I would choose the app drawer right. version, well, which is not on this interface yet, because this is the pre-production
unit.
Well,
it's funny that this is where the discussion is going, because LG themselves, and in some way Samsung,
Samsung has their own easy version of TouchWiz. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They both said, on their own occasions, let me just keep the phone there since we have that. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. You got to hold it, man.
I'm going to hold it there. They both said that having no app drawer, whatever.
I'm sorry, that's my accent. I apologize. Exactly.
Having no app drawer is actually easier than having one. And then in here on the phone, it says Easy Home is the one with an app drawer.
That's great.
We're going
There's
back and forth here.
It's very confusing. Okay, so before we move on, because I have a question for you, Josh. But okay, so why are there four buttons along the bottom? What
I
is
put
that?
A notification button. On
oh,
the
okay.
Bottom, yeah, just to make it easier to.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that part of the UI?
You can change up the
UX 5.0.
Yeah. So you can change up the different buttons that are down there. You have a few choices.
Oh, that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So Josh, where do you stand on the app? I'm sorry, I'll pronounce it correctly. The app drawer. Do you prefer an app drawer?
Oh my goodness, I prefer an app drawer for sure. But I will say this: if it's going to go by the wayside, Google, I'm looking at you right now. Google Now Launcher, keep it the way that it is right now. If future versions of Android no longer have an app drawer installed, pre-installed, and all other Android phones don't either, then we need an option, and the Google Now Launcher could be that option. Just keep it the way it is.
I don't think it's a good design to have all the apps splayed out like that, especially because we have widgets on Android. It's not like iOS, where all the icons, first of all, are tiled in that little round housing on iOS, and also there you just have tiles. You're not mixing in widgets and things of the sort.
Yes.
So, I think you're
stuck in what you know. And
I am kind of stuck in what I know.
I don't know. I don't want to start this whole argument up again. I just want to hear what Josh said on it. So
it always becomes an argument, though,
it does,
right?
Yeah. Because honestly, they could get rid of the after all, I'd be fine. I'd be totally fine. Totally fine.
Well, I will say.
You're going to be fine with the next bit.
Eventually, if the post office ever deems I'm allowed to have it. but yeah, so is UX 5.0, I mean, are you impressed by it? I mean, they're making a big deal about it. Is it worth the
I found it very interesting that LG is actually making such a big deal out of this, because I don't know LG to make a big deal out of its interface, but it's really trying to market it as something spectacular when, quite frankly, it's just kind of an iterative update on what they did on the G4.
Yeah, of course.
And frankly, that's the same... Like, Samsung did the exact same thing. Like, it's just an iterative update.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, remember the smart widget? They made such a big deal about the smart widget from last year. Yeah. And it basically just told you it's raining out, bring a jacket. And that was pretty much all it did.
Yep.
In the video that we're just playing here now, audio listeners. It's a it's a kind of a going through all the different features and things like that. But they, the way they laid out LG UX 5.0, it looks like Linux.
Oh yeah,
in the beginning of it, because like, it was all the kerning. Kerning is important, folks. This is what we learned in design, or else you end up with
Linux
5.0.
We should call that from now on. Well, if you guys want a walkthrough of Linux 5.0, I'm just going to go ahead and say, go to greenbot.com. I've got a whole slideshow for you showing what it's like on the pre-pro unit, which is how we're calling it at greenbot.com, the pre-pro unit of the G5. I think we're getting our actual review units in a couple days.
Yes.
I'm eagerly awaiting. I'm eagerly awaiting because, like, I can't test anything until I have that, you know,
so
version.
So you said they're going big with the Linux. And they're also going big with advertising, right?
They are, yes, surprisingly.
That's called the segue.
Oh, yes. The segue, which is the... Ron is so good at this, and I am just still but a little
you
baby
bird. You had a good one
learning.
Earlier, though.
She did. I know.
Sometimes you swing and you hit it. Sometimes the fastball gets by.
Well, you know, because I didn't know if, like, we wanted to move on.
Well,
or, like,
I think,
you know,
this is important.
I'm still trying to vibe.
It's one of my favorite
actors. All
right,
actors. So this is really important, y'all. Yeah. LG has hired none other than Jason Statham.
Thank you.
To do everything.
So not only did they hire Jason Statham, but
his sister.
No, these are a little weird, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Because they're LG friends, right? What they have to do with the friends?
What Android
let's
phone?
Play let's play one of them.
Okay, let's
play. All right, we'll
yeah,
take a look at the
Subway one.
So they're playing up the battery.
He's on the subway. Yeah.
He's very happy to be using this phone, by the way.
He's smiling devilishly, right. Actually. He's got a nice manicure,
hold on,
too.
Hold on. Okay.
That's it. That's all he shows.
He puts the battery in,
that's
basically.
That's it.
What I love about that commercial is that technically that phone's not even on. Yeah. What's he smiling at?
That's a very good point.
What is
that's
this he's
point.
Smiling? I want to play the next one. Okay,
and
here,
then he's in drag in this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, this is him in a cafe.
And he put in the little...
Camera.
The camera.
Yeah. Right.
Cam Plus.
What I like is that they put him in a dress and a wig, and yet he didn't shave.
Amazing.
Like, he's got the week's growth of...
That can't be his hand, though. Did you see that? That cannot
that
be
is
his
totally
hand.
His hand.
No, that look at that hand.
That's enormous. You're right.
Oh.
That cannot be his hand.
You don't think so?
No, look at that. That's an old woman's hand.
I kind of love
these
that ring, by the way.
These are weird commercials.
He was CG'd onto that woman.
So these are little teasers, and I would assume or I would hope that they're going to use Jason Statham for the action hero that he is, and we're going to get some driving.
I could do that, too, but give me a commercial.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Right. Yeah, see, so there he goes.
Right there.
You can't even put it back in. How are you supposed to do the commercial?
It's harder than it looks.
But I hopefully these commercials are more than just him dressing up like women. And using
I'm okay with that.
Well,
I mean,
okay,
sure,
what
pulls it off?
Okay,
yeah.
I gotta do this move right here. What Android phone other than Google's own, you know, like
Nexus.
The Nexus commercials? I thought those were brilliant. But what Android smartphone ad has ever been
none?
Right?
Wait. You thought the rock paper scissors ad was
no.
That was
the
great.
Piano one.
Oh.
The piano one.
The rock paper scissors ad was great, except it didn't tell you what it was for.
Yeah.
That was my
problem
with that.
I loved the piano one. If all notes were the same, I thought that
that's
was
a good
amazing.
One. But didn't Robert Downey Jr. do something with HTC?
Yes, he did.
Oh, and that did
and like a little alien at like a car wash or something.
Like,
it was really odd.
I feel like the celebrity involvement of these with these have not gone well. You know what I mean? Like that no like you haven't been like, oh, Samsung, I associate that with
excellent. Little Wayne is doing
Samsung.
Oh no,
Samsung who is it?
Or little pouring champagne
on the phone.
William H. Macy.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Actually, which is another odd choice. Like if like
listen,
like these like
it's no, like, his you know wife Felicity is doing all of the stuff
up?
Right now. Did they split
I
up?
Thought they split
I
up.
Hope not.
I don't know.
Yeah.
To Google.
Look this up. This
but
true. LeBron did do a Samsung ad. That one wasn't that bad. The only one that I can think of that was pretty good was Jay-Z when he put Magna Carta on every Samsung device.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. This is happening right now.
No, I think they're still together.
No, they're still together, y'all.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Love exists.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, or maybe not. We'll look into it later after the show.
Anyway.
But anyway, yes, very very odd. But it's good to see Jason Statham working. So.
Yeah. Well, he's a funny guy.
If
you don't know, he's actually a really funny guy. Watch Spy. But they couldn't have used like a transporter thing,
right? You know? I say use him for what he's not. Whatever.
Well, no LG friends.
I get it.
And those Expendables. Then I mean, come on now.
Man, right. You're really kicking into his library of movies. There.
So, a little bit. I'm a fan.
So moving on, we got some specs on the upcoming HTC 10.
Yes, we do.
Apparently, some specs appeared on GFX Bench. And they're not complete specs here, but they're enough for us to speculate off of. It looks like it's going to be a 5.1 QHD display with a 2560 by 1440 resolution, Qualcomm Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, 11 megapixel rear-facing camera with a 4000 by 3000 max resolution with 4K shooting capability, all you 4K nuts. 5-megapixel front-facing camera running Android 6.0.1 and no mention of the battery life whatsoever. So what do we think of the HTC 10 at 5.1 inches?
I mean, that's a good size.
That's a good size.
5.1,
quad HD, yeah. Not too bad. That battery better be big. I'm telling you right now. With an 820, a quad HD 5-inch display, that battery better be big. 11-megapixel rear-facing camera. I'm wondering where they're going to go with this after the way the M9 went with the more conventional camera.
Right.
But is UltraPixel making a comeback?
Conventional camera was such a letdown.
It was. It absolutely was.
Yeah.
And now you have people like, the Nexus 6P coming out showing that bigger pixels, less pixels, but bigger pixels mean something. And then, of course, the S7 did the same thing.
But 11 megapixels?
I hope this will be the case, honestly.
We were talking about this last night, whether or not this was going to be HTC's comeback. Yeah. Like, just kind of.
I feel like every time we talk about HTC for the past few years,
I know. It's the same freaking lead I write all the time because I don't know what else to say. I mean, that's the narrative we've been given.
All right.
Did you guys use the A9?
Yeah. It's slick.
Yeah. I actually had a moment where I had the A9 and an iPhone next to one another and I took the wrong one because I actually did look very, very similar.
Yeah. Bold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They made a lot of really interesting choices with that particular phone, putting in a lot of features that I suppose they thought everyone wanted, like a fingerprint reader, and then they took out the boom sound and stuff like that. I'm hoping that their experimental phase has ended and now they know exactly what to do with the
10. They went off the rail. Was it the 8?
The one M8. I loved the M8.
The M8 was the last.
The M9 was the.
M9 was the stinker, but things were going badly before the M8 came out. Because I remember we were
The One Max?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And the thing was, HTC was a company that I liked, I can get behind. I thought they were upstart, they were scrappy, but then it just kind of went all over the map. And yeah, so. Hopefully the M10 gets it back on track. I mean, because my sister has an M8. I told her to get that, and she's been using it, and to the point where it's dying. I mean, she's gotten.
Yeah, I was going to ask how it's holding up.
Because... Yeah, she didn't go to the M9, so it's still an M8. So yeah.
Yeah. Well.
What can you do?
Well, moving on from phones, we've actually got a bit of Chromebook news today, and it's so exciting that even Hiroshi tweeted about it. I actually saw.
We need a bumper or something, some sort of track, because I feel like when the story happens and Hiroshi tweets about it, you apply more value to it.
I do.
All right, so
I do.
Like,
it's true.
So and then we I'm need like, to have like
Hiroshi
watch.
Tweeted about it. It means it's important.
Hiroshi watch. I don't follow. I should follow him.
He's great. He's.
Because I was
going to
say how much of his tweets are business related versus I had peanut butter.
I mean, they're mostly they're like
isn't that business too though?
Yeah.
I had peanut butter. Don't worry, Android P won't be peanut butter anyway. Acer has launched a new Chromebook, the Chromebook 14. It is a $300 all metal Chromebook that looks as good as its specs are on the inside. I wrote that one. The entry level. Chromebook has a 14-inch display with a 1366 by 768 resolution, 2 or 4 gigs of RAM, 16 or 32 gigs of storage, and apparently it may or may not get 14 hours of battery life. We'll see how that one fares. Apparently there's also a higher-end version, which raises the resolution up to 1080p, has the 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, and gets around 12 hours battery life. So 2 hours less than the entry-level one. I have personally never used a Chromebook as a daily driver, so I don't really know if this is a device that, I mean, I just don't know what to do at this point because I'm in between computers right now. Like, this has literally been underneath my bed, and I bought it today so Ron can stop making fun of me for my Fisher-Price keyboard.
Have you seen this keyboard that she's using?
Yeah, she just showed me. Yes. It was magical.
It's like a toy. Yes. Yeah.
Whatever. It's amazing.
It's hard to recommend. I'm not saying that Chromebooks are bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's just hard for me to recommend them to most people I know, including myself, when you're
exactly.
creative.
Exactly. That's
you're
why creative, I'm like.
You know? Well, it's funny because I wish, for more reasons than one, I wish Jason was here. But because also because he uses his Chromebook as a daily driver.
Mm.
And I'm fascinated by that because, you know, he admittedly he is doing in his new role with, or his role with TNT, mm-hmm. and then with this show, he's doing less video editing and things like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you know, so
but,
it's easier.
And the thing is, I always say, I'm like, well, I need to do video editing, and I need to do Photoshop and whatever, but like, I'm doing less and less of that on a daily basis. I mean,
yeah. totally yeah, I mean, not if, the case with me. I'll right, tell you yeah. that right now. Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing for work. I need a laptop that can handle like Photoshop and Lightroom but at the very least.
But so is the Photoshop online version, the web version of Photoshop, or the Android app version, you know, running on whatever, like,
oh,
could that,
you know,
point. You know what I mean? Like, could that, like,
probably.
At what point do we get to the point where that's no longer?
I probably don't argument? Need the full suite if I think right. about it, because all I really use Lightroom for is like small enhancements, yep. and I use the mask tool to kind of like to make the interface pop in photos. Because otherwise,
well, as somebody who uses Lightroom Mobile on the regular, there's only
really
one, yeah, there's only one thing, and my brother and I are photographers, like we shoot together now, so we're always using Lightroom Mobile. So Lightroom Mobile is actually really powerful. There's only one thing it doesn't do, and it's the one thing it needs to do,
which is
it doesn't process RAW.
Ah,
you can only modify JPEGs.
Yeah.
So, well, nobody cares about RAW when you're doing.
Well, I had a long talk with Adobe back at MWC about that, and they were like, "We're working on it."
Josh, we're working on it. Just calm down.
It's funny because I've been on both sides of that conversation. I've been the, well, you know, you really should do this. And then, you know, and I've also been behind the counter where it's like, yes, I've heard that a million. Yes, we know we're working on it.
Exactly.
Like, and both are exhausting.
That's well, fun. I mean, I did preface it with like, I'm sure you get this all the time. Right. I'm sure you get this all the time. And to be fair, they are able to process the RAWs that a phone can make.
Right.
Just not the ones that DSLRs can make. So it's a bit of a
That's the thing. You know what? I kind of want to. I kind of want to try this as an experiment now.
Yeah, do it.
I want to see if I can do this Chromebook Life because it would save me like $1,200 from buying an XPS.
I'm laying down the challenge.
Yep.
Pick a Chromebook, use it for a month, see if you can survive. See how many days you can make it before you go back running to.
It'd have to be during a dead season, like when there's not a bunch of.
No time like the present. Tomorrow. Start tomorrow.
No time like the present.
No time like the present.
Tomorrow.
Literally start tomorrow. After the show, we will go buy a Chromebook and we'll just.
No!
It's literally.
Hey, it's only $400.
Right. It's only $400.
It's powerful. I can't commit to this.
See, there you go.
$300. Sorry. This one's $300.
Kind of wanted to try and call it in first. Come on, guys. Journalist. Come on.
Well, just the reward from winning the bet over me gets lesser the less you invest in it. So anyway, but all right. So our last little bit of hardware is something that I thought was immensely cool. But, you know, we've seen the Amazon Echo. Remember our friend Brady Forrest was on the show a couple months ago. He brought on the Amazon Echo. It's pretty cool. Well, there is now plans out on the internet that allows you to build your own Amazon Echo using a Raspberry Pi as well as some other components for just $60. And this is what I thought was so cool about it. You think, you know, where did these plans come from? XBMC maybe, or one of the other, or Reddit, or one of the other. No. Amazon posted it. Amazon completely posted the detailed instructions on how to build this on GitHub.
Where is the clapping emoji?
Or sound effect, or some sort of thing that Brian would do. But, bravo Amazon for, like, embracing developers and embracing hacking like this. Like, thank you for the golf club. Yeah, so, I mean, so for literally $60, you can buy a new Raspberry Pi Model 2, a micro SD card to load the software, a mini mic, and an Ethernet cable. And with all that stuff, you have your own Echo.
Why can't I just do, I mean.
Well, the Echo is such a nice-looking piece of kit, and then you would have that. In place
well,
of
yeah,
it,
like. Yes. I mean, but not everyone can afford the $200 for the Echo thing. And also, there's probably a lot, like, as someone who, you know, wishes I had time to do things like this, it'd be cool. It's a cool project. It's a cool thing. You know, it's a cool thing
to
build.
I just find it funny that someone would bring someone into their house and be like, hey, check out my Echo. And there's just this Franken thing on the table.
Yeah. Well, no, but you can get a little case for the Raspberry Pi. Uh-huh. Like, you could make this look good. I mean, But yeah, I don't know. It's just a cool project, and the fact that Amazon allowed it. Like, Amazon released all the code, released all the stuff, and all this. I think that's amazing.
Probably true. You can take the Raspberry Pi, you can do some sort of like Frankensteining where you put it in like a piece of furniture, and then calling on Echo. And
so
plus, for
no
Amazon,
little thing. There's no
yeah.
little.
It's like hiding a, you know, when they do the furniture that like hides the litter box kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and anyway, for Amazon, it's like a win because people are just like, hey, Amazon, over in like the chair or whatever. It's like, I need toilet paper, you know, and it just orders your toilet paper.
And that said, I mean, it makes sense that Amazon would do this because it gets more, you could get more people using Echo and Alexa and all their services and all that sort of stuff. But it's a audience that I feel like big companies like Amazon often ignore, which is this home hacking, modding. We do a lot of it here, and all that sort of stuff. This is the fun kind of project that if I had a teenager child who wanted to know about, coding and things like that, that's something I would do. Hardware.
Sure,
So I think it's cool. Good job, Amazon.
Yeah, then the kid will start to order everything off Amazon with it.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for hardware. Let's move on into apps. All right, so this is the moment that Flo has been waiting for, much to my chagrin.
I've been waiting to talk about this app for weeks. Actually, just like 2 weeks. Not really that long. But, so guess what, guys? We are talking today about Nintendo's first ever mobile game called Miitomo. It's not really a game, though. And I will show you why in a second, because I have downloaded the APK from our good friends at Android Police, and I have sideloaded it onto my Nexus 6P so that I may...
All right, so hang up. This is coming out on March 31st.
So it has already been released in Japan on March 15th is when I went live.
Okay.
I should have mentioned that because I'm jumping the gun here.
It's okay.
So it went live in Japan on March 15th. It is going live officially on March 31st, which is this Thursday in the Google Play Store for all you U.S. folk. And it's not really what you would consider in terms of a Nintendo game. It's more of like a... It's more like a Tamagotchi for your Mii. Like little Mii that you would make on the 3DS or on the Wii. It's just...
Okay, so does it require me to own a 3DS or a Wii or
no,
a Wii U?
But they do ask that you get a Nintendo account so you can like get some extra perks.
Yeah, because that's where your Mii...
Yeah, that's where the Mii lives, and
so
that way it...
Can we see the article again? Okay, so Miitomo.
Yes.
Okay. You can dress up your Mii.
And you play mini games to get clothes.
And that's all it is.
Yep.
And you're excited about this.
Oh, well, no, because eventually it turns into like a social network. I'm waiting for you guys to get on it because I don't have any friends that are on it right now. Except, actually, technically, Jason is on it.
So this is BBM right now. This is what it is.
that is a stretch.
How is Jason on it?
He, joined it last week because we were tweeting about the APK, he's with his
All right, well,
family.
So you have it, so let's see it.
So let's see it. Let's do it.
Jesus.
Sorry. Just want to be excited.
It's an adventure, folks. It's an adventure.
All right. Every day with Flo.
Okay, so if you link Miitomo to a Nintendo account.
So it's loading right now. I'm on data, so it might take a
Your moment. Answers are only shared with your friends. All right, so this is your
Here's
personal...
me.
Oh.
What's up?
This is amazing.
When I changed clothes earlier, I got this photo taken.
That's awkward.
Yay, that's me jumping in the air.
We gotta show off this photo.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna share it.
Wanna add a comment?
Yay!
Nah. And now it's loading because we're on data.
That's cool.
And then I get a bunch of coins. So I got all the coins. All right, that's awesome. So now I'm gonna go to
Curtis. Of course, this is gonna be huge in Japan.
So first of all, I thought she was naked for a second.
What the heck is this flower?
I'm trying to remember what to do. Yeah. So here's my friends list.
Wait, go back. What was that? That was actually something.
Here's recent activity.
There's no recent activity.
This is my answers. They ask you to, answer questions every day so that when your friends come and meet your Mii in the game when you're not in it,
they interact with it
even though you're not in it.
Okay.
Of course, I don't have any friends to interact with. It's like some
a lot of
weird
talk about
questions.
You, a lot of talk about you not having any friends this week.
Jeez. Some weird questions imagine flowers blooming in your mind's eye. How many flowers do you see? And I answered 185 dozen.
It's a lot of flowers.
Yeah.
That's a lot of flowers.
And you can update it too. What's my favorite TV show right now? Scandal. And she'll tell you that if you meet her in the game.
So ad for us. Who's that with the goal? Who's the gold guy?
It's just an ad.
No, scroll down. Yeah.
Add friends to get coins.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. All right. So here's the shop, okay? So you can go into the shop and buy clothing, and every day that you change the clothes on your Miitomo, you get coins, and it's kind of whatever. You can play these silly little games that will let you win clothes. It's kind of hard to play, though, so you have to land on one of these little launch pads to win that. So I have to launch her. Oops. Hold on. I kind of messed up by accident. Okay. Let's try this one instead. So you have to try and launch her, my little Miitomo, so that she lands. So let's see. Come on, drop. Yes. All right, just use some coins. It's fine.
Drop.
Here we go.
Oh, my God. Do you have any control?
This is morbid.
Look, I got the cat with the muffler.
So it's basically like Pachinko?
Basically.
Has all the Nintendo music.
So literally all you do is you move left and right and then drop your Mii, and wherever it lands, that's what you get?
Yes. So now I'm gonna pick the black
one. That's not a game.
I'm going to pick the black one. That's the one I want. So now I'm going to go back to... thanks for dropping.
Give Mii's a chance.
All right, go on.
Oh, so I was going to go to the menu. I was going to go to my closet. And here's, like, my closet.
Is there a Mario costume?
Yeah, I got it yesterday when I was playing.
Nice.
Put it on.
Beep. There it is.
All right.
So now can you post your Mii to, like, Instagram or something? Or?
Yes, you can. So it'll, like, save screenshots.
Can you do that?
I'm going to take a Mii photo right now.
Okay.
Nice. How about that one?
That's perfect.
That's good.
I would like to apologize to all of our audience on behalf of this demo.
Okay, sorry. Look, so we're going to share it to Instagram.
Wow. I mean, that kind of integration is kind of cool.
That's pretty neat. That's good.
This is happening.
This is happening live, folks.
This is happening.
Ta-da!
Cool.
Boop. Don't look at my...
There you go.
Ta-da!
Cool.
There you go. So that's Miitomo. It is literally just Nintendo's like little wannabe Second Life with Mii's.
I just want to mention.
It's kind of what it's like.
This is my second time on the show.
Okay? Yes, it is.
And correct. The last time I was here, you had Neko Atsume.
I did.
Which I was very harsh on. And
then
I,
the New York Times covered it.
I'm just saying it's an incredible coincidence that Flo has two Asian apps while I'm on the show.
I don't know about that. I don't really want to play that card here, Josh. Thank you, Brian. No, but I do think it's, I mean, as inane as it is, I think it's important that it's Nintendo's first
Android. Absolutely. I'm excited about it too, actually.
What did I see? I saw a fact, just a friend of mine tweeted or retweeted his sadness about this, but I guess mobile gaming surpassed console gaming in volume recently.
Yeah.
And so if Nintendo is embracing mobile gaming, this is a big moment because it's the first step.
You know? And I think it's very quintessentially Nintendo
It's not another developer just slapping.
It reminds me of the little mini games that come with a 3DS.
Exactly.
Street Pass. Yeah. But I don't carry my 3DS. I literally keep my 3DS inside my little ottoman. Like, I don't even.
I mean, they are trying to embrace the mobile space.
Should have, like, 5 years ago.
Well, true. But, you know, the technology has to catch up with the ideas. And that's what Pokemon Go is. That's what, you know, all these are.
Oh, I cannot wait for Pokemon Go.
Oh, my gosh.
And then next time you come to the Bay Area, Josh, we'll go to a field in the burbs. And we're just going to go play with our Pokeballs. It's going to be so much fun.
And I'm going to put my camera, this one right here, over on the side of the park. And just show everyone how crazy we look trying to fight Pokemon on our phones.
And they get dragged away because all of the little children's mothers are scared about these two adults playing Pokemon.
You said
we're
going to go to a field and play with our Pokeballs.
In the suburbs.
I didn't make any jokes. Because I didn't. All right. Well, moment in time. So March 31st, there it is.
Yep, exactly.
That's going to be me and Josh just hiding behind garbage cans.
We're going to look like we're taking pictures of random people.
Oh, my God. They're going to think we're taking pictures of their children.
Yes.
Crap. We're probably going to go to jail. Why did you go to jail? I was catching Pokemon. I got to catch them all.
Oh, my God. So March 31st, Miitomo is coming out.
And then we can be friends. And then I finally have friends. Yay.
Well, you also have friends in the Samsung community when you guys meet on a monthly basis in the Samsung fan club. And now you can get really excited about the much anticipated release of Samsung's new internet app, which is Samsung's branded specific browser for Android. And this is worth noting because it supports ad blocking. We talked about this a few weeks ago. It was a hot debated topic.
Oh, yes, it was.
But sure enough, if you are evil and don't like to pay content creators, you can turn on ad blocking. I'm just kidding. You can turn on ad blocking.
Me and Josh are like shriveling.
I know, yeah, exactly. But you can turn on ad blocking, and the Samsung internet browser will block them. They've also got secret mode, which is kind of like incognito mode or private browsing on Firefox. So that's out there. So if you got a Samsung phone, you can download that. It's in the Google Play Store. It's free. I don't know why you'd want it, but whatever. It's fine.
I mean, not to get into the debate about ads,
but Ron's really selling it.
On mobile, I will admit, like, it's a stark change when you're on your Chrome and you have ad block on or anything like that. And then you go to the phone and you just realize all these things you're not seeing.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we did talk about this a couple weeks ago.
Very long
and the third party code injection that occurs on web pages is criminal now.
Yeah.
And when you do install ad blocking, the speed increase you see is remarkable.
It's incredible, yes.
Unfortunately, it doesn't pay the bills. You know, like
true.
That's
but depending on where you're going on the internet, ad blocking is also like, it's like the 88th percentile of keeping viruses and all this adware off of your computer also. Because once an ad gets in, also other code can.
Yeah.
So it's also a protection thing. That's why
we need Pokemon for protection.
I still love Google Contributor. I wish they would do more of it. I'd gladly pay more than I'm paying. Okay, well, we were talking about photos earlier and needing to do things mobile, and you're talking about Lightroom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so now Google Photos has an update today that actually they brought over a feature from iOS, which that was kind of a bummer when you hear iOS had something. So iOS... the version of Google Photos for iOS had non-destructive editing, which basically means that you can like go back to the beginning with a photo when you're editing it. I don't understand why the Android version did not have this, but it's here. Before the update, Google Photos would just save an entirely new version of a photo every time you made new edits. And every time you tap save, you would just have like multiple versions of the same photo with slight edits, which is ridiculous and takes up way too much room. So go update your Google Photos. Make sure that you have this, you know, updated so that you're not having multiple.
I don't think it's rolling out yet because I don't have that.
You haven't had the update yet, maybe. Yeah. But so as a photographer who's often on the go.
Mm-hmm.
With your brother.
Yes.
Would you now use Google Photos to tweak your photos? Does Google Photos support RAW? Does that have what you need?
I don't think it does, actually. Not natively, of course. But I would use it. Like, I like Google Photos for the fact that it syncs up to, like, Google Drive and all that stuff. So if, like, let's say my brother and I are sharing photos with one another, Google.
Yeah,
it'll go to Google Photos, which is great. But I would probably still stick with Lightroom. I mean, if I'm the Creative Cloud suite and ecosystem is just really useful.
It is.
It's incredibly useful. Edit anything on Lightroom on your desktop, and then it'll automatically sync up to your phones, and it's ready
Don't forget,
for Instagram. You know,
Google has Snapseed as well, so Photos is not their only.
Yeah, this is.
But
true.
They've integrated Snapseed into Photos.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
There's some of it, but I think they're trying to keep Snapseed as like the more.
Have you guys completely converted over to Photos? Have you put all of your stuff on there?
I use Photos and Dropbox, so I do multiple backups.
I've always been. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have a not very good camera on my Nexus 5, so I don't really take a lot of photos. Hopefully, one day I'll have a new phone when the Postmaster General of San Francisco just deems I'm allowed to. But I've been on Google Photos since day one.
Because I just don't have that workflow yet of DSLR to computer to Google Photos.
Oh, you see, I don't have a DSLR.
You can get there's a little app that you run in the background. That
no, I know, I just
photos.
Haven't done it.
I've been doing that for years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not me.
Maybe
same
with
Google Music.
Take a Saturday and just.
Well, I mean, I have them all in a hard drive.
Right.
That's the thing. So I wouldn't put them up on Google. It would take a long time. Yeah. Just put it that way.
Yeah.
I know.
All right.
No easy way, man.
You know, spring break is here. You can take some time off.
Spring cleaning. Spring data cleaning.
Spring break. Yeah.
All right. Before we get to the arena, we got one last email, which is a little fun. Michael from Parts Unknown wrote in and says, you've probably seen this, but I would be remiss if not to take a chance to inform you of this cool Google Easter egg. And this is specifically was discovered in Marshmallow. Someone at Google that works on the dialer seems to be a fan of the UK television show called The IT Crowd, because if you dial a very long number, you get to see a bonus Easter egg. Now, should we show the Easter egg first, Brian, or show the context?
Show the context.
In the context, there's a TV show called The IT Crowd, which 90% of you watching the show, this show, I'm guessing you've already watched The IT Crowd and you're rolling your eyes at me telling you what it is. But for the small percent of you that didn't, go find it on Netflix. If you work in IT, if you work in computers, this show was made for you. And one of the jokes in the show was, I guess at some point the UK changed their 911 number. And
oh my God, that's amazing.
So wait, it keeps going. Hang on.
That's...
So they made fun of their public services by having a ridiculously long phone number to call for an ambulance. And it's very, very funny. And it's been a long going joke. So we're going to do it now live to see if we can get the Easter egg to work.
Oh, this is amazing.
So you ready? So if we can take my phone. All right, here we are. I'm sorry?
Any contacts going to pop up?
No contacts. I'm good. We gave the contacts already.
Contacts.
I know. It's a joke.
Oh,
I know.
Got it.
I'm on the dialer, so we're fine.
Very funny.
So all I'm going to do is I'm going to dial 011. Oh, there will be contacts.
Josh, help him.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Okay. Ready?
All right, I'm back.
All right. 011.
899.
999-119-7253.
Oh, okay.
See what happened there?
Yes.
So, that's the Easter egg.
There's another IT Crowd Easter egg with Google.
The three and put the three again. Put the three again. There you go.
There
nice.
It goes again. And it also makes my phone vibrate.
And now there's an ambulance outside.
So, if you ask Google now, did you catch that ludicrous display last night? It'll give you the soccer scores.
Wait, what is it again?
Did you catch that ludicrous display last night?
Do I have to do it in a bad accent?
Well, it's supposed to be Cockney, but I don't really know.
Oh,
how to do
a Cockney
that.
Accent?
Yeah.
What's the phrase?
Did you watch that ludicrous display last night?
Did you watch that ludicrous display last night?
Oh God, that was the worst accent.
I know it was.
Oh, sorry, it caught me, didn't it? What is it? So
oh,
much.
Say, oh, did you see? It's did you see?
Okay, Google. Did you see that ludicrous? Oh, Jesus. What is it?
Did you see that ludicrous display
okay.
last night?
Okay, Google. Did you see that ludicrous display last night?
Here are the recent scores for Premier League.
Interesting.
There it is. So. Very cool. So, yeah. So, if going back to the original thing, if you dial all those big numbers for our audio listeners, it makes the phone button cycle through a bunch of colors. It makes your phone vibrate. It's a little Easter egg. There you go. It was Easter last weekend.
That's so many numbers to remember for an Easter egg.
Yeah. But if you're...
The joke.
That's the joke.
Well, of course.
Oh, please. Like, up, up, down, down, left, right, start, select was any easier.
Yeah.
Oh, look, who's showing her Capcom knowledge.
I still know the codes to Aladdin
Konami.
On Sega Genesis, by the way.
All right. Well, good. That's a perfect time to go into the arena.
It is.
Boy.
So many enter.
I knew it was Konami. I said,
Android Arena.
All right.
I forgot BA. Sorry, y'all.
It's okay.
I ruined it.
You ruined it.
I ruined it.
All right. So looking at the arena results from last week, episode 258. Many of you voted, and I can't tell who won because I'm on the old version of Google Play. Somebody talk, please. All right, so you can see that Parallel Space was the winner with 36% of the vote, followed by Sensor State. With 28%, Lifeline with 22%, and my pick / keyboard only had 15%.
Ah.
So that means that once again, Jason gets a win.
My goodness.
He's not even here.
He's not even here to celebrate it, but now he is in the lead, I believe.
We will eat your cake.
In fact, that's confirmed. Currently, through 12 weeks of All About Android, Jason is in the lead with 5 wins. I'm in second with 4. Our guests... I've got 2 wins. You get to take credit for that, Josh.
Nice.
So you got 2 wins. Bringing up the rear in last place.
Really?
Is Flo with 1.
Jeez.
Hey,
you got one, though. Win. You got one, though.
Thanks for the pity clap.
So that means that since you are the loser... Wait, I lost last week. I should go first. Since I was the loser last week, I will go first. All right. So, yeah. So, right, let's roll with it. So, this app is, it reminds me, there was an app that we reviewed, I think, like in episode 25 that did a very, very similar function to this. But this has upgraded it, made it material design. It's a lot better. It is called Changelogs. And it is very simple in that what this does is it scans all of the apps on your phone and then it pings the Google Play Store and shows you the changelog for the most recent version of the app.
Dang.
Now, why is this good and why is this important? Because number one, it is a pain in the butt to go to the Google Play Store to look at the changelog. Number two, you might update an app and something breaks or something's not working correctly and you go, oh, what did they do in that last update? Now all you got to do is go to one spot and you find it. That's how easy it is. You can sort by last updated or by title or if it even has an update. And then, of course, you can rescan it and it will rescan. Again, this is only the apps on your phone. It's not going and giving you a list of every app you've ever downloaded or anything like that. It is just basically going, okay, these are the apps you have. These are the, you know, here on Inbox by Gmail on March 26th, they did bug fixes and performance improvements.
More importantly, so, he uses Inbox.
Well, I have it. I don't use it. And what's interesting is that it also highlights what developers and what folks are giving you a one-line update like Inbox by Gmail or no update like Uber and Swarm giving you a very detailed, lengthy update. So it's just really handy, really simple. In the settings, you can set it to auto-refresh when apps change, only when you're on Wi-Fi or not. And you can also allow anonymous logging, which helps fixing crashes, apparently. But, yeah, great little app. Very simple, very effective. Keep track of what changes occur on your app. And, oh, actually, that's a good point. If you want to jump, Brian, you want to jump back to my cap? If you tap on an individual app, it will give you the full breakdown. It will tell you how big the download size is, which is huge. It will tell you the reviews. It will tell you the local version versus the online version to make sure that you've got the same version and what the changelog is for it, as well as a link to the Play Store and a link to share it. Very, very cool, as well as a link to uninstall the app directly. So if something happens, if for some reason your phone is crashing and you're like, that dang Plex app, I can just uninstall it immediately. So
unworthy.
Yeah. So very cool. So changelogs, free in the Google Play Store. Vote changelogs.
There was a very good question in the chat just now that I thought of as well. Mm. Does changelog have a changelog for itself?
Yes, it does. Actually.
It does.
Yeah, it does. That's hang on.
Meta!
Look at this. So if we go to changelogs, and the first
it's the
one
top
right there
one.
Is
okay,
changelogs.
Gotcha.
And we see the latest version 1.1.1 is a hot fix to find data for more apps. Much more to come in 1.2. So there it is.
Okay, all right.
So changelogception. Thank you. All right, so that's changelogs. It's free in the Google Play Store. Josh, as our guest, you are up next. Oh.
All right, so I'm going to look in the camera at all you right now. Sometimes it's hard to figure out exactly what you want to display on your device. What wallpaper? Just what is your current interest right now? Wouldn't it be easy if you just had an app that did all the work for you, and you didn't even have to pick one of your many interests to put onto your phone? That's where Tapit comes in. Here we go.
Jeez, y'all are playing me up here today.
All right. Tapit is this little app right here with the check mark in. And basically, it will have a bunch of different patterns and all of the different colors that are available. And it will generate all of them inside of the app. You're not pulling any data off the internet. It's not going to use up any of your data. And as you can see here, I'm looking at a lot of different designs. Let's bring up the... let's do that real quick. Oop. There you go.
Oh.
You have a lot of different designs right here that you can toggle with your sliders and be able to randomly generate any single one of them. Also, colors can be toggled as well, so you can show what type of colors you want. I usually go for the green for obvious reasons. And then when you're at the main screen, just swipe up in order to change the color and the pattern. Swipe to the right in order to change the colors.
Oh, it's like a random wallpaper generator.
Exactly. Swipe down to go backwards if you need to, and swipe left to change the pattern but keep the colors. And it provides a lot of nice patterns, really randomly generated. And if you want to like any of them, it will remember that and give you more wallpapers based upon your preferences. I've used this on a number of phones, and I've had a few people hit me up on Twitter to ask me, where did you get that wallpaper? I want a link to it. Well, that's one of the things about Tapit. Every time you get a wallpaper on here and you set it as your wallpaper, that is yours. It's kind of hard to actually give someone a link to it unless you save it on the app. And there you go.
So it's like genetics.
A little bit. Yes. It's like a fingerprint. Tappet is like a fingerprint. Every wallpaper is different. Snowflakes. Are there other analogies we can use right now?
Sure.
I'm trying to think.
But yeah, that would just be Tappet. Nice and easy, but also takes the guesswork out of picking what you want to show as your wallpaper.
And you get something really kind of dynamic and mm-hmm. a little arty and yeah.
Yeah. Keep things really clean. Again, no app drawer, please, so I can actually show off my Tappet wallpaper.
You don't want an app drawer?
I don't want it. I do want an app drawer. Wait, did I say that wrong? No app. Yes, app drawer. So I can show.
Dang, look at all those wallpapers.
There are a ton. There's even a 4th of July one just in time for...
You know, that's a good point about app drawers. When you have a busy wallpaper, it's very hard to see all those apps.
Oh, and extra credit. You can use a Tappet plugin with Muse, as you guys had that.
Muse, yeah.
So you can have a blurred out version of Tappet on there as well.
Interesting.
Yes. Tappet. Very awkward.
All right. Tappet. Very cool. Flo, you are up next. And
I am
please
up next.
Take your time as I try to figure out how to set up the poll.
All right, y'all. So the original app I was going to have on the show today kept like crashing.
Well, Miitomo?
No.
I'm kidding.
I can't use Miitomo because it's technically only in Japan.
True.
So I guess I can't use it anymore. Anyway, so this app that I have today is a maps application for inside buildings. Hold on, it's configuring. This is called Cartogram, and here we are in beautiful, sunny Petaluma, and we are looking at the different locations in Petaluma that have indoor maps. So, guys, you know, I was thinking, oh, wait, this is Vallejo. Wrong city. Although we might want to go back to Vallejo because it looks like there's nothing. Oh, wait, the grocery outlet. All right, let's go to the grocery outlet,
sweet.
Y'all. So I'm at the grocery outlet, and I'm like, where are you?
Where's the chicken?
Where's the chicken? Well, this is supposed to help you look at the chicken. Darn it. Darn it, Petaluma. Let's go to the premium outlets. Maybe that'll work. All right, so here we are at the premium outlets. And as you can see, this is a diagram of the outlets. And here is Puma, which sells shoes and other athletic goods. And I can do is tap here on Puma. Come on, dude. This is like... Well, here's a vending machine. I'm just like, I don't want to sell this anymore. I'm so angry right now because my app that I originally was going to have today just completely fell through.
Sell it.
All right, Flo. Breathe.
Go to the city.
Breathe
go to the
on
city.
That. You can do all it. Right. You can do it. I believe
you.
Here we
go. Here's a bathroom in case you need to use it at the outlets. And so the whole point of this Cartogram is that if you're like at the mall or whatever and you want somebody to meet you, you can send them a drop-in from in here. So this would just like let me. So I can, you know, share with a generated link. Send it to somebody. Here's me. So I'm standing right here.
There you
in
are.
Puma, and I can send this link to somebody. I'm going to drop pin and then send that copy to clipboard and then send it to somebody to come visit me. I can also add like other users. Let's say like my fiance and I are, I don't know, shopping for groceries. I can add them from here and then be like, hey, I'm in the produce aisle. Where are you? I kind of want
to. You often get lost in the supermarket?
A funny story. I got lost in supermarkets so much as a kid. I was always that kid that had to go to like the cashier and be like, "Hello."
Only you had Cartogram as a kid.
I know exactly.
All right, so here's Best Buy in El Sobrante. Maybe we can get this to work a little bit better.
No chicken there.
So here's the Geek Squad.
Ugh, why go there?
And it's showing you here the inside of the Best Buy. You can see like here's the darn it, Cartogram.
Okay, it a little so we can see it a little better. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, turn down the brightness. And,
sorry, y'all.
It's as if Flo's never been on the show before.
I know. I have been on the... I'm so frustrated because so my original app didn't, like, come
so,
through.
Yeah, so you're the opposite direction. So if you tilt it
towards
the
camera... I'm never
good
at this.
There you go.
Same thing happens to me with yoga. They say left foot, I put my right one out. Right. So here we have, like, a map of Best Buy. And you can
there
see they have,
cool.
like, the portable electronics section is right here. The movie section is right here. the cameras and camcorder section is right here, and then I can do like a drop pin.
So is this using the same data that Google Maps has? Yeah, it is, because the Google logo is down there. So Google's already mapped all the inside of the stuff, but it's these pins and stuff.
So Cartogram uses all of Google Maps' infrastructure, which is kind of awesome. But the nice thing about it, Ron's helping me sell this. The nice thing about
I'm trying to be the shepherd, Flo. I'm trying to be the shepherd.
And the nice thing about it is that you can share a link with somebody, kind of let them know where you are. And I got to tell you, there's so many times that I've lost Eric inside IKEA.
This could be, honestly, this could be, not to go to our before the show and the pre-show conversation, this could be very helpful for groups at Disney World or Disneyland.
Let's check and see if Disney works.
Oh, man, it's going to be amazing.
I'm sure Disney would work.
Hold on, now it's loading.
What is it doing?
It's making a link.
Oh, that's a nice loading animation.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Look at that nice... Don't you want to vote for that nice loading animation?
Somewhat Star Wars-y.
This is...
You're getting sleepy.
Great entertainment.
You're getting sleepy.
Can users add information?
No, because this is the... So Google has been... And I know this because I researched this because I was working on a startup
in
the summer.
Quit this,
Google has
this
been mapping large public areas inside.
Yeah.
So, for example, airport terminals. You want to know where the Shake Shack is in JFK Terminal 4.
Exactly.
You pull up Google Maps and you see, oh, it's at the end of, you know, it's on the B side of gates and whatnot.
It's loading right now.
So this is not user submitted data. This is Google mapping.
Yeah, this
data.
Is on Google.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
It's all the Googs.
So it can't be added to. I mean, it'd be nice if you.
It'd be nice,
to.
Yeah. If there's some user. You know.
I think I crashed. You're not the adding. App, by the way.
Oh no.
Yeah, it's not responding. I had to close it. Oh, oh my God, what is going on?
There we go. There we go.
There we go. All
right. Cool.
All right.
All right. So
nice.
Let's
look try
up
one
Disneyland.
More time.
Disneyland. Again.
In this amount of
time.
Hold on.
In this amount of time, you could have generated 12 wallpapers and tap it.
All right. Disneyland. Here's Main Street USA. Here's the monorail station.
So
here's Gadget's Go Coaster, which is for little kids, but I may have written it a couple times myself. The Mad Hatter.
Show me Star Tours.
It's loading right now.
Yeah.
So this is Disneyland. Here's Main Street.
So this is a good way to stay in touch with each other.
Yes.
Say, oh, I'm in Fantasyland. Come to, yeah. So.
What's this? Oh, nearby.
24 Hour Fitness.
Disneyland.
Hey, well.
This is great. Anyway, so there you go. Cartogram. Want to let people know where you are.
All right. Thank you, Florence. Those are the apps in the arena, and you can vote for your favorite. All you got to do is go to bit.ly/AAAshow259. That's bit.ly/AAAshow259. Or you can go to the All About Android community on Google Plus, where I have pinned the post.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, no.
I did
Something's
this.
Wrong
what?
Here. It's a
what?
Dead fish. What is this from?
Hang on a second. Oh, no.
Is this Bitly?
That's the
404.
I thought I did it right.
Fish?
Hang on a second, Brian.
That's the 404 screen? That's amazing.
That's awful. That's murderous. Why would you do that to a fish?
It's still floating.
Hang on a second.
It's still floating. That means he's alive.
That may be a slight typo in that URL, folks. Instead, it should be... Yeah. bit.ly/AAApoll259. That's bizarre. All right. Well, listen, we're gonna start. Now it works. Now it's working. Maybe this is a propagating issue or something.
There you go. I can doubly confirm it.
I'm not crazy. It's bit.ly/AAApoll259, or you can go to the Brian. You can go to the Google Plus page on Google Plus, or you can go to the URL I just put in the doc that goes directly to it, where you can vote for your favorite app. Do you want to vote for Changelogs or Cartogram or Tap It Infinite Wallpapers?
Tap It.
Vote for all of us because we're all winners in your hearts.
I will not be undone by Reddit again.
It looks as if somehow Cartogram has an early lead. Oh, no. Now we're seeing the Changelogs and Tap It. So, you know, it's all fluctuating. It's all happening, everyone.
Josh has more fans.
So hopefully you're able to find the link easily and you can go vote. Just go to the All About Android community in Google Plus, and it's right there pinned at the top. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. Josh, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Always have fun here. And thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for making the trip.
Absolutely.
So where can people find you? What do you got going on? What do you want to tell us about?
Obviously, you can find me at AndroidAuthority.com as the head of production. You can find my videos on our YouTube channel. And you can find me across all social media networks with the handle JVTechPod. Tea. That's T-E-A, the drink. And you can find me mostly on Twitter and Instagram. If you try to friend me on Facebook and I don't know who you are, I'm not going to hit confirm. Just saying.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Someone draws the line.
Yes.
Yeah, I draw the line at wow. Facebook, too.
Facebook is the line for sure. Instagram, hey, come on by. We'll talk,
you're a
all that stuff.
So
yes, exactly.
Good,
yeah. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of Snapchat, just saying. So
I am super on Snapchat.
I do not understand it.
I mean,
love Snapchat.
We need some time when we have more time and we're a little more relaxed or whatnot, and I don't have something to do tonight. we should do a Flo Teaches Ron Snapchat session.
I do Snapchat stories.
Much similar to a couple of years ago when OMG Chad tried to teach me about Minecraft, which was possibly one of our greatest moments on the show. So someday. I'm not ready yet. I need to get there mentally.
But yes.
So, great. So, Instagram.
That's what Instagram, for the most part. I mean, I am on Twitter as well, but Instagram is definitely
What's
my favorite.
What's your Twitter handle?
Same thing, JV Tech T.
Cool. Excellent.
All right.
Well, thank
you guys
you
very much.
Us.
Oh, actually, you know what? One more. Street Fighter V, JV Tech T, if you want to fight. Let's do
if
that.
You want to fight?
Yeah, Street
wow.
Fighter V.
Invitation?
Someone's he's dropping the gauntlet left and right. No Facebook, Street Fighter V, fight me.
Let's go.
Fight this guy. There
let's
you go.
Go.
All right. Flo, where do you want people to fight you at?
I don't want you guys to fight me, but I would love it if you would come read my articles at greenbotandpcworld.com, because that's where I write. Follow me on Twitter. And I am doing Snapchat stories at the same username, OThatFlow. Last week I did a Snapchat about how annoying my BART parking situation was because of our track issues that we have going on, and I was very impacted by that last week. Then this weekend I did a Snapchat story on how I used my new lip gloss. So, you know. I'm trying to...
It's just compelling content.
I'm basically trying to use Snapchat as, like, the other Flo stuff.
Did you have, like, the filter on with the dog ears and stuff?
I do that. Actually, I looked really good. I looked really good in the drag queen one.
Yeah,
I thought I pulled that off really well.
So weird. I will give them credit for creating new ways of interaction. I will give them credit for that.
It really
even
is.
Even though they're really creepy and give me nightmares. So.
Yeah.
All right. That's all you got?
That's all I got, y'all.
Okay. Brian, what have you been up to, buddy?
Well, you know, Padre's on vacation for the next 2 weeks, so we've got pre-records coming out. But you know that Amazon Echo Raspberry Pi?
Yeah.
I'm going to do that project.
Are you? Awesome.
Nice.
Very cool. I realize now after we did it, I probably should have asked you to weigh in on it because you are that's the right up your alley. So.
I thought about jumping in and saying something, but I didn't want to interrupt you. I didn't want to step on your toes, Ron. So,
it's
you
tough
know.
When Jason's not here, Brian. I'm sorry. You know I love you.
Yeah, I know. But technically, if you wanted to watch something like that, it would be Know How with me on Padre on Thursdays at 11 o'clock. Or Monday at same time, 11. But I'm thinking of doing like maybe a 3D printed case for the Raspberry Pi Echo because we do have a 3D printer here, but I know not everyone has one of those. So probably do some kind of disguise like you guys were saying, like maybe put it in a tissue box or something like that. So stay tuned for that.
Tissue box.
Why is that tissue box talking to me?
Yeah. What is that strange voice?
I'm so curious about this.
It's very cool, though.
But otherwise, I'm Cranky Hippo most places. You can follow me on Twitter at Cranky_Hippo.
Cool. And for me, if you're interested in my rantings and ravings, you can go to about.me/RonXO where you can find my links to my Facebook, which I am more than welcome for you to be my friend. Instagram, Twitter, Google+, all that fun stuff. But if you want to listen to me let's be honest. If you want to listen to me lose it on a podcast, go to ifanboy.com. Actually, Brian, I put the link in the doc if you want to do there. We reviewed Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, and I'll just sum up that movie with two words, with four words, pile of hot garbage, and I kind of lost it. So go to ifanboy.com where you can download that podcast. You can listen to me rant and rave with my three best friends as we argue the inner workings of a Batman Superman movie. So it's just awful.
I have no intention of seeing it. Not interested in it at all.
It's just like people who hate life. It's sad. Anyway, all right, well, let's go wrap it up for this week. We missed you, Jason. We look forward to having you back next week. If you want to participate in the show, there's a bunch of different ways you can. You can leave us a voicemail at 347-SHOW-AAA. You can send us an email or a video mail, which not many people have done, and I encourage you to do because that's always cool. You can email to AAA, that's AAA, at twit.tv. We're on Twitter at Android Show, on Reddit at twitaa.reddit.com. You can find all the show notes and past episodes at twit.tv/AAA. And of course, all the episodes are available on YouTube and iTunes. And you can catch us live every Tuesday, starting somewhere around 5:30 p.m. Pacific time at twit.tv/live. Until next time, see you later.
We forgot to mention we're going to be on TNT this Friday.
Too bad.